All right, everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be in Proverbs for a little bit. But we'll start off just reading the first four verses. If you're able to, please stand in honor of God's Word. And we'll read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Ready? Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you so much for Father's Day, and we thank you for the fact that you are the great example. And dearly Father, I pray that you just help us as the fathers in this room to take and be the godly example that you called us to be. And we pray that you just do a work in our hearts this morning, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I was listening to the news this past week, and it seems like the world is trying to cancel Father's Day. And evidently, the term father is offensive to some. And, you know, the thing about it is that a lot of the terms that they want us to use are an abomination to God. And so when it comes down to it, you know, the world, there was a clip on the news of somebody that was about 10 years ago that said that they wanted to cancel marriage, and they wanted to cancel the term father and mother, and they didn't want to just cancel marriage in general, but basically they wanted to cancel marriage in the churches as well as regulated by the state. And so we see that basically the world, Satan in particular, is waging war on marriage. Here's the thing, is the Bible says marriage between a man and a woman, and they're waging war on the traditional home. And so listen, when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you, they're waging war on what God has created, and they're waging war on the Bible. And so we as Christians, we have to stand strong. And men's breakfast, we talked about being able to stand, and we talked about a lot. And so, but anyways, here's the thing is, we're going to talk about fathers this morning. And you know, there are many occupations that people can have all throughout the throughout history, and many jobs and careers that make a difference in the world. You know, there's doctors. My wife just saw a doctor not long ago, and he has made a difference in her life, trying to help her get her wrist straightened out. And we see police officers. And by the way, we ought to respect our police officers and not defund them and not treat them like second-rate citizens like a lot of the world does. And they're the ones, their authority. The Bible says that we're supposed to respect and honor our authority. But anyways, and so here's the thing just like we talked about, the world is waging war on authority, and they think that they are the authority. They're like gods. But there's firefighters, and I tell you what, firefighters can make a huge difference. Working on an ambulance, we saw many firefighters rushing in, and I'm thinking about one where there was a fire that started in an apartment complex, and those firefighters, I remember seeing them carrying out person after person after person, and basically they're making a difference in the world. Lawyers, well, never mind. And anyways, here's the thing is, there's many, many, many different occupations that you can have. But I'll be honest with you, it's not really an occupation or a career, but one of the titles that you can have that can be the most influential is that of a father. And here's the thing is that it can deeply impact someone's life and have joy. Now, the thing about it is nothing can bring greater joy than to have a child that you work with and you pray for and you teach and you train and you see them serving the Lord. At the same point in time, nothing can cause more pain than to see a child that you prayed for and worked with and just poured your heart into walk away from God. And so, but the thing about it is being a father is a great and intense responsibility. Unlike many jobs and careers, you don't punch a time clock. You don't take and there's no set working hours. Sometimes you're called upon in the middle of the night. If being a father would be a job, it'd be the lousiest job in all the world, because you'd be called on in the middle of the night, right, Dee? And you'd be called upon all throughout the day, and sometimes when you're extremely busy. And you know what? There's no set job description. And it's not like, well, here's your responsibility. And I tell you what, there's no employee handbook. I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad that God put in there what he did. But here's the thing is there are some things in there that you're like, man, I don't remember reading that in the Bible. But there's no retirement. You don't retire from being a dad. Many believe that there is no training and preparation available, although God says a lot. And many people that say that haven't read the things in the Bible. But here's the thing is, I've heard fathers say, well, I wasn't prepared for that. And I've said that a couple of times. And I never thought a family would go through this. And I don't know what to do. But dads, let me encourage you this morning. That when you don't know what to do, say, or think, there's a place to turn, and that's the Word of God. And the thing about it is that the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The goal isn't necessarily to become a better father, it's to become a godly father. And here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, as we see that the world is trying to cancel the term father and the position in the home, and as television is trying to mock the role of a father, I'll be honest with you, the reason why that it's allowed is because we're lacking in America in godly fathers. Because I'll be honest with you, the problem on the television would go away if everybody hit the power button. Because here's the thing is, if they weren't showing, if they had zero audience for that garbage that goes on today, they wouldn't keep on producing it. Because a lot of times what they produce is based on this right here. And so, when it comes down to it, what does the Bible say about being a godly father? Because when it comes down to it, we need to get back to the old fashioned Bible. And too many times we do actions based on this rather than this. And too many times we're led astray. And pastor talks about Disney and follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so we need to go to the Bible for our definition of a godly father. Basically, the book of Proverbs was written primarily by King Solomon, and it was to his son. And the first seven chapters was written directly to his son. And he said, my son, 15 times in the first seven chapters. King Solomon had an intense desire to impart wisdom, direction, and godly counsel to his son. And by the way, we as earthly fathers, we should have that same desire. You read Proverbs and you see the desire for Solomon, for his son to turn out and just to please God. And basically, in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon is sharing loving and godly instruction. And basically, there's three valuable attributes of a godly father that we're going to look at in Proverbs. Number one is the will of a godly father. See, fathers are leaders, no matter how you look at it. And I'll be honest with you, a leader cannot lead somebody to a place that he has not been himself. There's a term that I remember hearing a lot growing up. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And so here's the thing is that I remember hearing a person say that, and I'll be honest with you, they were kind of stumbling as a leader, and they were like, well, everything rises and falls on fellowship. Well, the truth of the matter is that we see here that the responsibility falls on the leader. How do we determine to be a godly father? Well, we see here in verse 2, for I will give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. We need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Solomon gave his son good doctrine. It wasn't what Solomon thought. It wasn't Solomon's reasoning. It wasn't what he was taught. It wasn't the latest trend or it wasn't what was fancy. It was what God said that was right. And basically, the Bible says it was good doctrine. I will give to you good doctrine. Simply put, you cannot give what you do not have. And so, Dad, it's the responsibility of us to get good doctrine. By the way, too many times, dads across America, they haven't cracked this book open at home. They haven't cracked the book open for their personal Bible reading. They haven't cracked the book open for godly counsel. And so here's the thing is when it comes down to it, we cannot give what we don't have. We need to be a godly father. And so here's the thing is, it's not the responsibility of the church to give good doctrine to your children. Although it is a place that is where good doctrine is being taught. But it's not the responsibility of the church to teach your kids. They will help you teach your kids. And by the way, we should be in church so that our kids do get godly doctrine. We need godly doctrine. We need to get it as much as receive it. But here's the thing is it's not the responsibility of the school to give you good doctrine. And to be quite honest with you, you're not going to find it in a public school. There are a few good teachers here and there, but you know what? If you're watching the news, they are trying to cram down your throats of the children some terrible, terrible things. And between sex education and all this racial garbage, you're trying to cause animosity between races. Hey, listen, when it comes down to it, we need to be like Christ, the grounds level at the base of the cross. And so here's the thing is stop focusing on all this stuff. But you know what? We need to get good doctrine. And good doctrine is found out of the Word of God. And too many times we take and we think, you know what? It's the pastor's responsibility to teach my kids good doctrine. It's the church's responsibility to teach good doctrine. It's my wife's responsibility to teach good doctrine. No, God has called us as fathers to be leaders in the home and to be spiritual leaders in the home. And we are to train our children good doctrine and is found at home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so here's the thing is that God here is commanding. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And and they shall be in thy heart. And so God is saying, hey, listen, you need to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You need to, and basically he's saying, teach them diligently unto thy children. How do we teach them diligently? And thou shalt talk about them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou rises up. Hey, listen, good doctrine should be on the tip of our tongue as fathers. A good doctrine ought to be at the tip of our tongue constantly. We need to take and be talking about how the Lord answered our prayers, how God spoke to us in Bible reading, how God spoke to us in a sermon. And listen, I'll be honest with you. Every moment of every day should be a teaching opportunity. They should know that, hey, Daddy walks with God. Hey, Daddy has a prayer life. Hey, Daddy reads his Bible. Hey, Daddy goes to church. Hey, Daddy, God speaks to Daddy's heart. And listen, when Daddy talks about good doctrine, you know what? That is what's on the tip of his tongue. Too many times we take and we have the world's philosophies on the tip of our tongue. We have what we're upset with on the tip of our tongue. We have our complaints and our grievances. But listen, God is saying, hey, listen, if we're going to be the fathers that we're supposed to be, if we're going to reach the next generation, hey, we have to have good doctrine on the tip of our tongue constantly. Because I'll be honest with you, too many times, even in Christian churches, man, I tell you what, we're fighting with people. We're complaining about people. We're taking and worrying about the world and all the cares of this world. But you know what? God is saying a godly father is someone who has good doctrine on the tip of his tongue. There is a responsibility for every father to spend much time in this word. And I'll be honest with you, if we don't, we're not imparting good doctrine. And so here's the thing is, the more we're in the Word of God, the more we'll want to teach our children. The Word of God will increase your will to be a godly father. Next is a sample of the instruction of godly men, verse 3 and 4. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. There was a quote, a wise man learns from the experiences of others. An ordinary man learns from his own experiences. and a fool learns from nobody's experiences. You know who Solomon's dad was? Solomon's dad was King David. King David was somebody who God says was a man after God's own heart. Somebody who, as we study the Word of God, we see that King David trusted God. We see that God used him to do great things in the killing of Goliath. And here's the thing is, you know what? Many people turned to God because of that. King David was somebody that God cared for and loved. I believe that Solomon had treasured the instructions of his father and the counseling of his father because of his testimony. The thing about it is I'll be honest with you. There's this saying out in the world, do as I say and not as I do. Be honest with you, that's not the role of a godly father. We shouldn't have the idea that, you know what, why don't you just look to the pastor? Tell you what, let me find a godly man. And by the way, it's an awesome deal that we have people, because even as a godly pastor, even as a godly father, you know what, we should have people in the church that we can point to. Because too many times out in the world, man, I tell you what, they'll point to the sports people, and I tell you what, they're living like the devil. And we're teaching them the wrong things in life. Shooting a basketball or kicking a field goal or like my pastor growing up used to say, going out into a pasture and hitting a little white ball with a stick around and trying to find a hole to put it in. You know, the thing about it is that's not important. And so what's important, here's the thing is, when we take and point our kids to these sports heroes, so to speak, we're telling them, hey, listen, these are the people you're supposed to model your life after. They're not. They're living like the devil, and we're teaching them that the most important thing is the wrong thing. And so, and we definitely ought not be pointing them to Hollywood. Man, I tell you what, they are messed up in Hollywood. And I tell you what, their lifestyles, most of them go against this book right here. And so when it comes down to it, you know, I believe that Solomon reverenced the instruction of his father because of his testimony. He knew that dad walked with God. He knew that he read his Bible. He knew that he had a prayer life. And so here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. Too many times we take and we say, you know what? I am like Popeye. I am what I am, so I am what I am. Popeye the Sailor Man. Well, here's the thing is, we're not Popeye and we don't have a can of spinach. And so when it comes down to it, listen, we need to have a testimony that when we speak, people listen. Why? Because of our testimony. Because they know that we walk with God. They know that we pray. They know that we hear from heaven. Why? Because we're taken and our lifestyle backs up what we say, and our speech lines up with this book right here. And so when it comes down to it, Solomon listened to his father because of his testimony. We need to make sure that we follow the examples of the men in the scriptures that led their home with faithfulness. Think about Abraham. I tell you what, how many of us would take and take our son up to the mountain because here's the thing is, God told us to, and be willing to sacrifice our son on the altar. I don't know many fathers that would. I don't know if I would. And but anyways, here's the thing is, think about Abraham and Lot and saying, hey, listen, I'm going to let God lead me. And you know, Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. And but here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, look at Abraham and how he led his family and how he took and you know what? God blessed him for it. Look at Moses on following God. Yes, there was times where Moses had made a mistake, but and you know what? One of the biggest deal was striking the rock. But imagine this, that he led the people. And I'll be honest with you, one of the hardest things is to lead a group of people. Why? Because everybody has ideas and you know, but when it comes down to it, listen, I can't imagine leading a group of several, you know, even several thousand people. But when it comes down to it, Moses stayed faithful. And Moses was blessed by God. Look at Noah. And Noah gathered his family together and said, listen, God told us to build an ark. Well, what's an ark? It's like a boat. What's a boat? And anyways, but here's the thing is, God told us to build an ark. Well, why is that? Because it's going to, you know what? There's going to be a flood and it's going to rain from heaven. What's rain? And, but listen, you know, the thing about it is imagine, you know, we understand floods, right? You know, a few years ago, my basement flooded. We understand floods here, but you know what? Back then they didn't have those floods, but Noah rallied his family together. And, you know what? He did what a lot of people wouldn't. Why? Because I believe Noah's testimony was he knew he walked with God. He knew him and God were like this. And so the thing about it is when he said, God told me, they believed it. And so they took, and you know what? By faith, they built an ark. By faith, they did the improbable and the impossible. How are we doing, fathers? You know, the thing about it is that there's another quote, a wise man learns from the mistake of others, but nobody lives long enough to make them all themselves. And so when it comes down to it, you know what? If you're saved, you may not have had a godly father growing up, but you know what? You do now. You know, I think about many parents. You know, here's the thing is my parents came from a home where, you know, they didn't grow up in a Christian home. And, you know, the thing about it is that I remember between them and my in-laws had trusted Christ as their Savior when their kids were still in the house. And you know what? I remember I was talking to somebody at church and at their church. And they said, you know, the great part about the Beer Lions is that if pastor preached on something, they just did it. If it was in the Word of God, they just did it. And here's the thing is, they didn't know what it was like to be a godly parent. You know what? But they knew that, hey, here's the thing is, if it came from this book right here, they were just teachable. And, you know, for any of you that have met my in-laws or met my parents, you know, the thing about it is they didn't come from godly homes. They figured it out by reading the Word of God and by praying. And so here's the thing is, it is possible. If you don't have a mom and dad that gave you a godly example, you know what? It is possible to be the godly example yourselves. And so, Psalms chapter 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go, and I will guide thee with thine eye. And so here's the thing is we have that ability. Next, we see the wisdom of a godly father. A steadfast will is necessary to be a godly father, but a will without wisdom is dangerous and leads to foolishness. Tell you what, without wisdom, we get some foolish thinking. You know, the thing about it is that all you got to do is go door knocking, and there's some pretty strange ideas out there. You know, the thing about it is there are some people who think that, you know what? Well, we have a home church. I don't see that in the Bible. The Bible talks about not forsaking the assembling. And my first question is, do you have a missions program at your home church? Well, no. I remember one person that I went to school with growing up, he told me that. And later on, he ended up getting right with God. And I said, so what was that deal about a home church? And he said, man, I was out of the will of God. I had some crazy thoughts. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you. When we're not studying the Word of God, there'll be a lot of crazy thoughts that come around our head. And we think because we're not walking with Him that they're okay. And foolish actions. And so here's the thing is a lot of times, you know, I think about that saying, our desires determine our direction and our direction determines our destination. Too many times that foolish thinking result in foolish actions. And by the way, foolish parenting. And so when it comes down to it, we need to be in the will of God. We need to do what God says. And so here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, just like I talked about, the reason America is in the condition we're in is because, you know what? We've had a dearth of godly fathers. We've had a dearth of godly fathers that say, hey, listen, I'm going to be present in my kid's life, and I'm going to be walking with God, and I'm going to be the godly example. Because here's the thing is, you know what? If I am not the godly father that I'm supposed to be, I am a terrible example to my kids. I need to be the example of faithfulness. I need to be the example of somebody that walks with God and does His will. And so here's the thing is, so that they're not getting foolish ideas from me. I tell you what, I would not want to stand before God up in heaven and say, why did you teach your children foolish ideas? I gave you the good doctrine. You just didn't want to get it for yourself. There's another quote, for every pound of learning a person has, he needs 10 pounds of common sense to know how to use it. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So listen, we need godly wisdom. There's a priority of wisdom. And we see in verse 7, the Bible says in 4 verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, with all thy getting, get understanding. Talked to the teenagers downstairs about this several weeks ago. Wisdom is the principal thing. Here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, too many times our priorities are all out of whack. We think, you know what? The principal thing is this right here. If I can only provide my kids with all the lavish goods that I never had as a kid, that's not what's important. Well, you know what? I've got to take and I've got to shield them from, that's not what's important. Here's the thing is, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And so here's the thing is, wisdom was a priority to Solomon. Solomon is saying, hey, listen, when it comes down to it, I've got to get wisdom. The Lord came to Solomon and told him that he could have anything that he desired. After considering all that he could have in life, he didn't choose riches. He didn't choose a mansion. He didn't choose, here's the thing is, a lot of us would choose many different things. But you know what? The Bible says he chose understanding. He asked for God, basically for wisdom. And God granted his request to make him the wisest man who ever lived. Why? Because he knew that the best thing, I'll be honest with you, when it came down, you read about Solomon. Solomon did some amazing things. Why? Because he had wisdom. Think of, we talked in the teenage class about the two mothers that came to him. One baby was dead and one was alive. Solomon had to use wisdom on who was the real mother. And he said, listen, the live baby will cut in half. Give half to one and half to the other. The real mom said, no. I'd rather you give my child to the other mother than to cut him in half. And he knew at that point in time who the real mother was. And so here's the thing is, listen, I'll be honest with you. Raising children takes wisdom. Training grandchildren takes wisdom. Reaching people at all takes wisdom. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, don't be concerned with all the comforts of this world. Don't be concerned about the latest gadgets or the latest games. To be honest with you, you know what? Young people nowadays, because of a lack of a good father, seems like too many of them, they can't speak. All they want to do is this. And man, they got the strongest thumbs in the world. And right? Or they want to play their video games. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we as fathers, you know what? We need to place a priority in having a wise and understanding heart so we can learn how to raise our children. There is no replacement for understanding in the matters of daily living. Basically, Solomon here is saying this is the principal thing. This is the most important. This is first place in time, in an order, and in rank. And by the way, wisdom only comes from walking with God. You know what? Wisdom doesn't come from this world. I tell you what, there are plenty of Professor Itchy Bottoms that write books out there. And you know what? They don't have any wisdom. There are plenty of Professor Highwater Pants out there that, you know what? They say, well, here's the wise thing to do. You don't know it. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from walking with him. Dr. Spock doesn't have God's wisdom. Dr. Phil doesn't have the answers. Oprah is confused about God's truth. And so we need to stop looking into the world. We need to stop watching sitcoms and television shows trying to get the way to raise our children. You know what? We need to get back into an old-fashioned book and decide that we're going to embrace God's plan for parenting. See, here's the thing is, you know what? The world, like I said, is trying to attack the home. The world is trying to attack the role of a parent. And by the way, it's a mom and a dad. And the thing about it is that, you know what? The world is trying to attack a lot of things. But listen, we must embrace God's plan. There must be a priority on having God's wisdom. We see that there is preservation in wisdom. Look at chapter 4 and verse 6. Forget her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. The Bible talks about forsake her not. Don't look at the wisdom for a while it is convenient or while it is useful. Always look to the Lord for wisdom and direction. She shall preserve thee. A hedge about to guard or protect. I don't know about you, but wouldn't you like to know that something that you've invested time and love and tons of money and instruction into your kids will last? Here's the thing: is leading God, leading a home in God's wisdom is the best way to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There is preservation in wisdom. There's a protection of wisdom. Look at verses 8 through 13. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And so we see, take hold of her, for she is thy life. Wisdom is something that we should live for. A wise, godly life provides protection for the bearer. And here's the thing is, I don't know about you, but I like protection. And but next is the warning of a godly father. As you develop character of a godly father, and you develop the will of a godly father and wisdom of a godly father, you know, the thing about it is it's our responsibility to soak up the warnings of the Word of God and to pass them down to our children. Because here's the thing is, not only is it important for wisdom, but you know what? There are many things in the Bible that God warns about. Destruction. There are many things that, but anyways, and so here's the thing. It's also, there's the path of righteousness. We see in verse 18, the path of wickedness in 17 and 19. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manner. But listen, when it comes down to wisdom, we as fathers, we need to have wisdom. We need to seek wisdom from God. And listen, when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you. There are many things in life, you know, that we need to pass on. And I don't have time to go through my whole outline, but when it comes down to it, listen. There are a lot of, this world is a wicked place. And there's a lot of pitfalls. And you know, the thing about it is it seems like young people, they get this attitude where, I know what's going on. And I'm thinking, you know what? At one point in time, you couldn't even shower or brush your teeth. What do you mean you know what's going on? And you know, the thing about it is that I'll be honest with you. You know what I found out is when I was living in the home, man, I thought I had arrived. And the later the older I got to realize I was too dumb to know I was dumb. And you start to realize how much you don't know. But as parents, hopefully, if we're in the Word of God and we're godly parents, we see the pitfalls. We've worked with people at the church and we've known what it means to walk away from God and the dangers that involve in that. We know the dangers of that. Hey, if we stop reading our Bible and we stop praying, you know what? The rest of our lives is going to start to fall apart. When we stop trusting in God. And so here's the thing is, as parents, we need God's wisdom. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be faithful. And so here's the thing is that number one is when we talk to our children, they think, yeah, right. You don't even believe it. Because I'll be honest with you. One of the things for child rearing is I remember going to a child rearing conference and they said, one of the biggest mistakes that you can make is hypocrisy. Make sure that what you say matches up with what you do. Because hypocrisy is the biggest breed of rebellion. And so listen, I'll be honest with you. Too many times Christians across America, they hear their dad saying one thing and they look at the life and say, yeah, that doesn't match. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of children that have walked away from God because the word of their dad and what the dad does was two different things. So if dad doesn't believe it, why should I? And I'll be honest with you, this is where wisdom plays a part. We need to live the life, and we need to walk the walk. Because I'll be honest with you, I believe we're in the last days. I believe Christ could come at any moment. And the thing about it is you know what? If we have any hope for the future, if the Lord tarries, it's because we have godly dads that stand up and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to impart to you wisdom, and I have wisdom because I walked with God. And the thing about it is I want you to know that God's word works by showing you in my life that I'm going to live the way God wants me to live so that when you have problems, you come to me and say, I know what Dad's talking about. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, in America, we haven't had that in a while. We have had pockets here and there, but you know what? As America as a whole, we've gotten away from God. We've allowed, you know, the thing about it is that I remember, you know, we used to say, well, you know what? The homosexuals, they just want to get married. Just let them get married. Well, now they're wanting to destroy marriage altogether as a whole. We need fathers to say, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going to condone sin, whether it be my sin or somebody else's. You know what? Let's walk with God and let's get God's wisdom from the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as you've given us example after example, and dear Heavenly Father, for this Father's Day, I pray that we as fathers would renew our decision to be godly fathers, to be godly leaders in our home that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to condone sin. We're not going to make excuses for why I don't live what I preach. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to walk with you. Help us to live the way the Bible tells us to live. Help us to keep short accounts with you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be the godly example and be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to live a godly life in a very dark world. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.